Are y'all ready to proceed? All right, let's call the second case. Please, the court.
First of all, I'd like to make a comment. I am hard of hearing, and if I give you sort of a blank stare in response to a question, that's the reason, but I'll let you know that I didn't hear it. When I was a very young attorney, just starting practice, I had an older attorney tell me that if you have the facts, pound the facts. If you have the law, pound the law. If you don't have the law or the facts, pound the table. And there have been times during this briefing in which I felt like I was pounding the table. I no longer feel that way, and I think that when the undisputed facts are applied to the law, that the trial court erred in domesticating the New York judgment, and that her decision should be reversed. Several issues, but primarily the basic fundamental underlying issue in this case is whether or not the New York court had jurisdiction so that it could be domesticated, its judgment could be domesticated in Texas. There are several reasons for that. One, if the New York judgment was not entitled to full faith and credit, service on the defendants is a non-issue. There is no evidence that the forum clause was freely negotiated, which is a requirement for an enforceability, is that it's not just a border plate provision, but that it was freely negotiated by the parties, and there is no evidence in the record that that forum clause was negotiated.
Well, wait a minute. Now, it was in the contract, and your client signed the contract, so are you telling us that there's some case law out there, like some other clauses that appear in contracts, where it has to be in bold print, it has to be larger print than the normal contractual language, so that your eye is drawn to it, it has to be on the first page? Are you telling me there's something out there? Because if you had to negotiate every single clause in a contract, I mean, basically, you'd never get the thing signed. So,
a forum clause, apparently, Your Honor, is different.
If you got cases in your brief saying what you just told me a minute ago, that it has to be individually negotiated.
Not individually, but freely negotiated, which means that, is my understanding of that, that it just cannot be in the contract. That must be a subject of discussion between the parties. That's my interpretation of freely negotiated.
Okay, to me, freely negotiated sounds like that your arm isn't twisted, there isn't fraud, there's something, I mean, here's the contract, read it. If you read it and sign it, you've freely negotiated it, but you think it means something different.
Well, Your Honor, to me, in the trial court, there would be some testimony as to how that provision was inserted in the contract. It was discussed and agreed to, and it was signed. All that we have here is that the contract was signed. There was no discussion at all regarding that provision. That would be my interpretation of freely negotiated. The New York court did not have personal jurisdiction or subject matter jurisdiction.
But that goes out the window if the forum selection clause is valid, correct? As I understand it, and this is just my understanding, subject to your input, but it's their burden to go forward and show that there was a valid forum selection clause in a contract signed by your client. If they do that, it's then your burden to go, and I believe it's a heavy burden or some words to that effect, to show that one of these four exceptions applies so that the forum selection clause shouldn't be enforced.
Your Honor, I'm saying that the equitable part of the forum contract does not apply because the trial court did not have jurisdiction.
Okay, you lost me. What is the equitable part of the forum?
That's if it's overreaching, if there's been fraud.
Okay.
Those are the exceptions to the enforcement.
All right. What evidence have you brought forward in your briefing and referred to in the record of one or more of these exceptions to the enforceability of the forum selection clause?
They're in the brief. I don't know how much they're briefed because lately I have focused on the one issue. I'd like to read an opinion on that to me determines this case. This is from the Burger King case, the United States Supreme Court, 1985, on page 478. If the question is whether and to what extent a contract may constitute a contract for the purposes of due process sufficient minimum contacts in the other party's forum state, we believe that answer clearly is that it cannot. Now, what the Burger King case in effect says, a forum clause standing alone does not give the trial court jurisdiction to hear the case. That's completely different from the equitable enforcement of it. This goes to the heart of the trial court did not have jurisdiction in New York, because the forum clause is the only thing in which happened in New York.
So your interpretation of that case is that a forum clause can never be enforced?
No. If there has been no specific jurisdiction, conduct by the non-resident in the state, or general jurisdiction conduct, then a forum clause itself is not the basis for subject matter jurisdiction in that state.
Well, then there would be no need for a forum selection clause, because if there's personal jurisdiction or subject jurisdiction in a certain locale, that locale has jurisdiction. So there's no reason to ever have a forum selection clause.
No, that's not how I read the case.
Okay.
There's also Texas case and others I cited in my reply brief that in effect say the New York court case must plead facts showing that it has jurisdiction.
Well, it has jurisdiction because of the forum selection clause is their position. Position is that's insufficient. That's kind of the bottom line here.
You're
going to say forum selection clause gives us jurisdiction. You're going to say, no, it doesn't. Burger King says so. You need something else.
Yes.
Okay, that's the bottom line.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Complaint in New York, to Justice Brennan's, and who's wrote the opinion in Burger King, goes on and he says, the court long ago rejected the notion that personal jurisdiction might turn on the mechanical test or on conceptualistic theories of contracting of or place of performance, which to me means that nothing had happened in New York at the time that contract was signed. And just the forum clause alone, without conduct by the guarantors or the defendants, does not give New York jurisdiction, simply because there was a forum clause when the pleading itself did not even plead a cause of action. My understanding of the forum clause or the long arm statute is that you've got to plead facts that show that court in that state that something happened in that state to give it jurisdiction. And then the forum clause in effect says, if there has been conduct in the state, that forum clause means, okay, we've got jurisdiction, you waived the issue of personal jurisdiction, but not subject matter jurisdiction. Parties cannot agree upon subject matter jurisdiction for a court, period. So without getting or having subject matter jurisdiction because of a lack of pleading, and not only the lack of pleading, but the lack of any conduct by the appellants in New York. And you look at the motor vehicle lease and all the provisions in that, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 9, 10, and 15. All of them do not relate to the state of New York. They relate to either New Jersey or to Texas. So when you find the parties' agreement, was there any performance under the contract in New York? No. You read the affidavits from the appellants that the arrangements for the purchase of the limousine was in California and Missouri. The limousine was shipped from Missouri to Texas. The owner of the vehicle and neither of the guarantors was ever in New York. The lease was signed in Texas. The down payments were sent from Texas to New Jersey. The vehicle was never in New York. There is nothing in New York that relates to the appellants coming to the state of New York and its citizens for it to resolve a dispute that had nothing to do with the state of New York. And the cases, the later ones that I decided or cited in my reply brief, particularly the Burger King case, when Justice Brennan says, in effect, a forum clause standing alone does not grant jurisdiction. You must have long-arm conduct under specific acts or general acts by the defendant for that forum clause to attach to. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, counsel, I think we've pretty clearly set out the issue here. I'm sure you're ready to respond to it.
I hope so, Your Honor. May it please the court, counselor. In this case, Your Honor, the appellants are trying to use the forum selection clause as both a sword and a shield. The first filed lawsuit in this matter was in New Jersey, Your Honor. In that case, the appellants filed a motion to dismiss based on the forum selection clause. New Jersey was supposedly not the proper place to file litigation. The court in New Jersey agreed with the appellants, and they dismissed that lawsuit. In fact, the trial court judge, on its dismissal order, hand-notated in there, New York is the proper venue. Appellants have also filed a lawsuit in Dallas. The trial court in Dallas denied their lawsuit in Dallas and dismissed it based on the forum selection clause, ruling that New York was the proper venue. We filed a lawsuit in New York in accordance with the venue selection clause, and we obtained a judgment. Now they are trying to argue that forum selection clause bars the judgment. The court referenced previously, Your Honor, that in Texas, forum selection clauses are prima facie enforceable, and a party contesting them has a high burden of proof. That is from the International Profit Associates case. It's a Texas Supreme Court case from 2009. In that case, Your Honor, the court identified four different factors. First factor, enforcement would be unreasonable or unjust. Second factor, the clause is invalid for reasons of fraud or overreaching. Third, enforcement would contravene a strong public policy. And fourth, the selected forum would be seriously inconvenient for trial. And the court cited the N. Ray Lyons case. That's a 2008 Texas Supreme Court case. The appellants have not identified any evidence or any facts or even made arguments on any of those four factors. Instead, they've attempted to reframe the question, Your Honor. They've tried to attack whether there was general, specific, or subject matter jurisdiction. But even using their own cases, let's look at the Burger King case that he cited from 1985 in the U.S. Supreme Court. In that case, the court looked at jurisdiction and whether it was reasonably foreseeable that litigation could be brought in an out-of-state forum. Well, Your Honor, in this case, I think it's reasonably foreseeable that litigation could have been brought to New York because in bold, conspicuous language on the lease agreement itself, it says that litigation can be brought in New York.
How is that differentiated from, I keep calling it the cheeseburger case, but it's the Burger King case?
That was the Burger King case that I was referencing, Your Honor.
Okay.
So I know.
Well, how is that distinguished from here?
Well, Your Honor, even using their own case, it helps my argument. In that case, the court looked at, was it foreseeable? Could the parties anticipate that litigation would be brought in New York? In Burger King, it was based on where the litigation was going to take place, whether it's going to be taking place in Florida or not, because that's where the home office of Burger King was and the franchisee was in another state. And the court determined that it was foreseeable that litigation could commence in Florida based on that's where the home office was, negotiations took place, payments took place. So the court said you as the franchisee, as a commercial franchisee, which they are here, should have anticipated that litigation could be brought forth. Another case that they cite in page 11 of their brief is International Shoe, another well-established U.S. Supreme Court case. International Shoe stands for the proposition that jurisdiction is expanded if you tacitly consent to that venue. Well, in that case, Your Honor, it's a taxing case, and I'm sure this court is familiar with it, but basically it was whether salesmen could be taxed as they go from state to state and they're, you know, making themselves a part of that state's commerce. In that one, the court ruled, well, there was tacit consent. Therefore, it was proper to extend jurisdiction to them. Once again, Your Honor, we don't have tacit consent. We have express, explicit consent. The case that he should have cited should have been Carnival Cruise Line versus Shoot. That's the premier, premier is the wrong word, but that's the standing case from the U.S. Supreme Court on forum selection clauses.
The lead dog, thank you.
And in that case, Your Honor, we had a Washington resident. We had a California, the boat left from California. We had an injury in Mexico. And we had the forum selected was in Florida. And in that one, the court said forum selection clauses are enforceable. If you would have followed that reasoning, then the forum selection clauses controls.
So
Your Honor, they make some...
You're agreeing that the issue in the case for us is the forum selection clause enforceable if there's no other basis for jurisdiction? That's the issue.
Yes, sir.
He says no, you say yes.
I'm saying that's exactly what the case law provides,
right.
And I'm saying that of the four factors, Your Honor, they failed to address them. You know, New York was a venue that was selected. Well, why was New York a venue that was selected? Well, that's where the financing came from, New York. That if you look at the certificate of title on the automobile, the lien holder is listed out of New York. There is a connection to that. I know that's usually a choice of law analysis. Was there a reasonable relationship? I don't think I carry that high burden today. But even looking at, if the court is saying, why did they select New York, there was a reason for that. I will tell you that the cases go on to say, if you look at International Profit Associates, which is the case that I previously cited, it specifically says that New York is not an alien venue that is inconvenient for trial. One, in this case, Your Honor, it was their burden of proof. If they were going to argue that the clause was not freely negotiated, well, that was appellant's argument. That was their burden of proof. And I would agree with the court when he previously stated that the clause itself does not have to be freely negotiated. Just the agreement itself has to be negotiated.
Mr. Stout.
Yes, sir.
You said on page 3 of your brief that the financier of this project, in terms of cinema car, looking to go find somebody to help them buy a lot of vehicles to lease. They go to New World, who is the party that provided the financing that's in New York. Lake Success, New York, a place I've never heard of. That's
yes, sir.
Where they're apparently located. And then they, and so that transaction was between the entity that was buying the vehicles to lease. As between those two people, then these parties were never involved directly with those two people in this transaction of deciding who was going to get financed, who where the financing would be. In other words, the choice of financing was with Cinema Car, whatever. They were looking for somebody to help them buy the car.
Yes, sir.
And these parties, Baez and I might say Casaliva, neither of those parties were involved in that part of the transaction.
That's correct.
And then the lien itself, that's your cited in your pages, Exhibit D2, that says there is a lien for U.S. Bank in a New World LLP. That also would have been a part of the transaction because these parties are not directly involved.
All that is correct, Your Honor.
And what then do you contend for the minimum contacts to sustain such a kind of research? In this case, as far as the presentation of the case to the trial court here in Tarrant County to admit the judgment.
Minimum contacts is not the analysis that the court needs to be evaluating. The court needs to be evaluating whether there was a forum selection clause and whether the forum selection clause enforcement of it would be unreasonable.
All right, so you do not read Burger King case to have for Justice Brennan to be saying minimum contact jurisdiction under an act of law, separate analysis from did you agree to litigate in New York, and if you did, then the fact that you have nothing else to do with New York is not a relevant inquiry because you made this agreement on forum selection and therefore you've got jurisdiction in New York on that one.
Your Honor.
No one else had, they had nothing else to do with these two parties and their direct dealings.
Your Honor, I'd point the court to footnote 14 in that decision. In that decision, and I'm not positive this is Justice Brennan, but assuming that he's the one that drafted this, it states, we have noted that because the personal jurisdiction requirement is a waivable right, there are a variety of legal arrangements by which a litigant may give express or implied consent to the personal jurisdiction of a court. He cites the Insurance Ireland versus Compagnia de Basse case. It further states, for example, particularly in the commercial context, parties may frequently stipulate in advance to submit their controversies for resolution within a particular jurisdiction. That's from the Burger King case. Your Honor, that case supports our position. Your Honor.
His position is that if you have jurisdiction in various locales, the forum selection clause is only used to decide which one of these we're going to litigate in. Your position is the forum selection clause can be utilized to determine where you're going to litigate the question and has nothing to do with subject to personal jurisdiction, right?
I think that's the analysis that the court needs to decide, and there is plenty of case law that falls directly on point in my favor.
And would you distinguish again for us the Chief Burger King case?
I don't think I need to distinguish
it. Well, how do you distinguish his quote, which sounded pretty strong to me and was pretty strong when I read it?
Well, I'd ask the court to find that quote in his brief,
okay.
To find that quote in the case. And I didn't bring that up, and I don't say that lightly to opposing counsel, but when I saw that quote too, I was concerned about it. I have the case in front of me, Your Honor. I haven't found that quote in that case. And, Your Honor, the Burger King case was not a forum selection case, so I'd be surprised that they were using a forum selection clause and quoting it.
But we'll ask opposing counsel to give us a page cite here in a minute.
Okay. Your Honor, they also addressed in their brief, and I'll just hit on it quickly, whether service was actually proper in regards to Mohammed Kalaski and Fatih Faiz. In regards to the first individual, Your Honor, they didn't argue that at the motion for new trial. They didn't argue that in their brief, so certainly service was proper for them. In regard to Mrs. Faiz, the trial court heard testimony from both the process server as well as Mrs. Faiz. The trial court also relied on written evidence, and the trial court made a determination based on the conflicting testimony that service was proper and effective under New York law. The decision was not capricious, it was not arbitrary, it was the judge making a decision based on weighing the credibility of the two witnesses. Your Honor, in conclusion, the decision of the trial court should be upheld and the appeal denied for four separate and independent reasons. First, the forum selection clause was conspicuous on the lease and provided the parties fair notice. Second, appellants do not contest conclusion of law number 7, that the enforcement of the clause would not be unreasonable. Third, there is no credible evidence or argument that enforcement of the clause would contravene a strong public policy or the balance of convenience is strongly in favor of litigation in the form in which the suit was filed, and litigation in the forum identified in the clause would be so manifestly and gravely inconvenient to the resisting party that it would be deprived of a meaningful day in court. Finally, the evidence certainly supports the trial court's determination that service was effective. Yes, sir.
Before you quit, I just can't help but ask.
Please.
How
is it that we have litigation in New Jersey, Dallas, now litigation in New York, more litigation in Fort Worth, over 16,000?
Your Honor, I'm not happy about it at all. And I'll tell the court that I was throwing up all last night. And the reason that I didn't ask for a continuance yesterday is because this case has to end. I have very stubborn clients. I will say that, you know, opposing counsel has done a good job with his client. We've hired three, each side, I believe, has hired three different sets of attorneys, Your Honor. I wish this case was over $2.5 million because there are some interesting issues in here, Your Honor. It doesn't justify what's been done here today.
Is there anything not in the record even think about? In other words, the 5, 6, 7, or 8, or 9 other leases dealing with the same situation, or this the only transaction?
This is the only transaction between these two parties. We're not here trying to set precedent that we have 8 other leases that we're going to be here.
Wondering.
No, sir. I have some, I don't want to say, I would say this. Both clients are standing on what they believe is the proper principle. I don't believe it makes economic sense. I think that myself, as well as opposing counsels, has properly instructed their clients concerning whether this is a good financial decision or not.
Well, you both have done a fantastic job in briefing and representing your clients. I'm just curious. Standing on principle is something that all of us have a right to do in this country and in our litigation system. Certainly the two of you have done that.
Well, and I think I'll speak for myself, but I'm not certainly not getting paid for all of this, Your Honor. I've had several appeals in front of this court before. This is the first time for me to do oral argument in front of this court. I just appreciate, and maybe out of all this, I'm going to become a little better lawyer while at the same time diligently representing my client.
We often benefit as lawyers from what we do without getting paid money for it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Rebuttal, counsel?
Briefly, Your Honor, hopefully.
The quote, the page that I quoted to that you said he couldn't find is on page 478 of the Burger King versus, I can't pronounce that, that second name.
Mr. Anderson,
page.
I'm listening carefully to what you said on the opening argument and what Mr. Stout said, and I've read the briefs and looked at most everything that you guys put together within the exhibits, and it appears to me that you are putting your eggs in one basket, and that is that Justice Brennan meant to have a distinction between minimum contact jurisdiction for all persons, whatever you're looking, whether you're looking at subject matter, personal, that the issue of minimum contact jurisdiction under international shoe for long-long purposes contrasts with and is different than from jurisdiction that might come about as because the form selection clause in a negotiated contract.
Yes, Your Honor.
And what you're looking for is a bright line decision from us that would follow what your interpretation is of Burger King that says you've got to still have minimum contact jurisdiction in order to have your long-arm statute be, or anything be enforced, even in a selection.
Well, the difference, as I see it in reading from that opinion, is you have subject matter jurisdiction, which cannot be given if you don't have minimum contact in the state. If you have minimum contact, then that forum clause waives a personal jurisdiction because you've agreed to it. Again, if I read a couple of quotes from Burger King, because I think it does control this case. On page 471. The due process clause protects an individual's liberty not being subject to the binding judgment from which has established no meaningful contacts, ties, or relations. That's on 471, again, in effect saying you have to have a minimum contact in that state for the forum clause to attach. The on page 472, we have noted several reasons why forums legitimately may exercise personal jurisdiction over a non-resident who purposely directs his activities toward forum residents. How can you read that any other way? then you have to have minimum contacts in that state for the forum clause to attach. The arguments on equity assumes jurisdiction. That's why they're equitable. If you don't have jurisdiction, it makes no difference. And in this case, if you look at the petition in New York, there is no pleading of any kind that these people committed any act in the state of New York, just that they're non-residents.
Now, who was it was arguing in Texas that forum was incorrect here, and who was arguing in New Jersey that the forum was incorrect there?
Your Honor, my understanding, you know, and I got into this after all that happened, was that the appellants had an attorney who filed in New Jersey. And then that court said, no, we don't have it. You have this forum clause. We're sending it to New York. That court made an error. New Jersey was the proper forum for the defendants to be sued in as non-residents, because everything in that contract related to New Jersey. Payments, operation of the automobile, everything. And New Jersey is the one that was the proper forum for that.
But your client was the one who disputed that in New Jersey, correct?
It's my understanding, Your Honor, that it was done by a prior counsel.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand your argument. Your argument is, if the Burger King case applies, the forum selection clause is basically out the window. But if this court decides Burger King you did not challenge the finding of the trial court that enforcement of the forum selection clause was not unreasonable.
Well, in New York, it was a default judgment. See, so that wouldn't be contested.
Okay. Well, in New Jersey, did you take the position that the forum was incorrect?
You know, I mean, again, I got in late.
I understand.
But I looked at that and I thought, that's nothing but a court saying, hey, we can get rid of this and send it to New York.
I know, but your client can't take inconsistent legal positions in different courts. I don't think. They can't say in Texas we should one place.
There's been no determination at all in the New Jersey, except that we're sending it out of here off to New York.
Well, that court made that decision based upon your client's request to do so.
I don't know, Judge. All I know is that it's part of the record. There's the dismissal of New Jersey with the notation something about New York. So now, whether or not there was a hearing and the court did that as a result of the hearing, the record doesn't reflect that.
All right, thank you. Your case is submitted. The next oral argument will be at 10:30, and so the court will take a break until 10:30.
Thank you.